Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever cried out to God and felt like you were crying out in a vast, empty void? You prayed for healing of a loved one and the monitor just kept beep, beep, beeping down to zero. You prayed for a marriage on the brink and the divorce papers were still signed anyway. You prayed for relief from crippling anxiety, maybe depression, maybe it's a lifelong addiction, and you woke up the next morning feeling that exact same weight crushing your chest. You prayed, you pleaded, you wept, and what did you get in return? Silence. Not an answer you dislike. Not a quick no, just cold, unyielding, unbearable silence. And when God is silent in our lives, in our humanity, we start to spiral. We start wondering, did I pray wrong? Is my faith too weak? Has God turned his back on me? And maybe we even begin to think, is God even there at all? If you've ever wrestled with the silence of heaven, then the gospel today from Matthew chapter 15 is written directly for you. Because long before you and I ever sat in a room wondering where God was, a desperate mother stood in the region of Tyre and Sidon and faced the exact same wall of silence. The title of our message today is Standing Faithful in the Silence of God. And to do so then, we'll consider this Canaanite woman. This Canaanite woman is a complete outsider. She's a Gentile. She's born in a pagan country. And this pagan country, the Canaanites, were very hostile to Israel, to the Israelites. She had no claim on the covenant. She had no right to the promises of Abraham. She had no seat at the synagogue table, if you will. But she did have a daughter who was tormented by a demon. And as I thought about that, as a parent watching your child suffer, right? Pride, national identity, fear, they all seem to melt away. And she hears the rabbi, Jesus from Nazareth, is coming through the borderlands of where she lives, and she runs to him. She runs to him. And she shouts out the right theological title as well. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. She confesses him rightly. She calls him Lord. She calls him Son of David, which is acknowledging that he is the promised Messiah of Israel. You see, her prayer was pure, her prayer was humble, her prayer was urgent. And how did Jesus respond? For me, Matthew records some of the most chilling lines in all of the gospel, and I just saw it reading through it this last week on the screen. But he did not answer her a word. He did not answer her a word. He didn't turn to her. He didn't smile. He didn't offer a gentle word of comfort. He didn't say, be healed. He didn't say, just wait a minute. He just simply stood there in silence. And then to make matters worse, the disciples pipe in. They're annoyed. They say, send her away, Jesus. She's crying out after us. As far as I can see, that they just thought her pain was some kind of an inconvenience in their life. And then Jesus finally speaks. His words sound more like a door slamming in her face. He said on the screen, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then she falls on her knees and she cries out three simple words. Three very simple words. You can see them on the screen before you. Lord, help me. And then Jesus hits her with what sounds like an insult. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, inside of ourselves, it kind of makes us uncomfortable a little bit on what Jesus said here. It's like, why is he so cold? Why is he delaying? Why is he silent? How are we to understand this, Jesus? I mean, how do we reconcile a compassionate Savior who gathers his lambs in his arms with a master who meets a desperate mother's anguish with silence. Silence. We often speak how God works in hidden ways. It's what Martin Luther, our namesake, calls the hidden God. God doesn't always reveal himself in the thunder or the lightning or the immediate dramatic rescue. Most of the time, he hides himself under the opposite of what we expect. He hides life under death, you see. He hides strength under weakness. He hides honor under shame. He hides glory under the cross. He hides his deep burning love under the appearance of coldness, indifference, and silence. Jesus isn't being cruel to this woman. I want you to know that. What he's doing is he's trying to draw her out. He was testing her, not to break her, but to reveal something. And it was to reveal the diamond-hard faith that the Holy Spirit created in her. Notice what the woman does when met with silence and boundary lines, if you will. What does she do? She refuses to let go of Jesus. She refuses to let go of him. She doesn't get offended. She doesn't storm off. She doesn't say something like, well, if that's how the religious teacher's going to treat me, I'm done with God. No, she doesn't do that. Why didn't she respond that way? I think it's because she knows two things absolutely. Number one, she knows she's completely unworthy of her own merits. And number two, she knows Jesus is her only hope. And when Jesus says that the bread belongs to the children and not the dogs, she doesn't argue her pedigree, you see. She accepts the assessment. She accepts it with humility, and then she uses his own metaphor to catch Jesus in his own mercy. It's one of the most brilliant, spirit-wrought confessions in all of the Scripture. Right here. It's coming up on the screen. Yes, Lord, she says. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. As if she was saying this, you're right, Lord. I do not have a right to sit at the table. I am an outsider, but your table is so overflowing with grace. Your mercy is so vast that if a tiny crumb falls to the floor, it's enough to heal my daughter from the demon. She takes the no that seemed to be implied in the silence. She digs through it and finds the yes hidden underneath. She did not let Jesus go. When he hid his face, what did she do? She looked behind the mask. When he spoke harsh words, what did she do? She searched inside those words until she found a promise of grace to grab hold of. Overall, what she's doing here is she's holding God accountable to his own merciful nature. And look at Christ's response. The silence collapses, the stern exterior vanishes, the heart of the Savior break opens with joy, and he says, O woman, great is your faith, be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. And this moment between Jesus and the Canaanite woman just isn't a lesson on persistent prayer, even though it is, but it's also a preview of the entire gospel that expands through our other readings that you heard read this morning. Quickly, in Isaiah chapter 55, the Old Testament reading from this morning, the prophet looks to the days when the boundaries of God's kingdom would shatter. The Lord declared in Isaiah, my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples, for all nations. God was never planning on keeping salvation in a private family safe, you see. He was preparing to invite the whole world to the table. That's what Isaiah is saying in 56. In Romans chapter 11, the epistle reading you heard read, the apostle Paul's wrestling, if you will, with God's work and how he works through rejection and how he works through delay. He reminds us that God's ultimate end goal is redemption. On the screen, for God has consigned all to disobedience. Why? that he may have mercy on all. The Canaanite woman had no right to the covenant, yet she received the fullness of God's mercy. Why? Because salvation never, ever, ever was meant to be of our merit, of our heritage, of our feelings, of our worthiness. It's always been about the character of the God who gives it. So what does it mean? What does this mean for you when you pray and meet the wall of silence? It's on the screen there. How do we cling to the promises when it seems heaven is silent? First of all, don't mistake God's silence as God's absence. When Jesus was silent to the Canaanite woman, he was still standing right there in front of her. He didn't walk away. He was listening to every tear, if you will. He was watching every step as she took toward him. When God feels silent in your life, it's not that he's abandoning ship. It does not mean that. He is drawing you deeper into faith. He's drawing you away from relying on your emotional feelings or the immediate spiritual high, and he's anchoring you down deep into his word and promises. Christian hope, dear friends, is grounded. It's historical. It's blood-bought, and it's a reality given to us by Jesus Christ, and the anchor of that is the empty tomb of Jesus. Second, then, of how do we cling to the promises when heaven is silent, we pray like a beggar who knows where the food is, right? We pray like a beggar who knows where the food is. The Canaanite woman didn't come demanding rights. She came demanding mercy. When you feel ignored, bring God his own promises. Speak the gospel back to him on the screen. Say, Lord, you promised in my baptism that I'm your child. Say it back to him. You promised in your word that you will never leave me or forsake me. You promised that your grace is sufficient for me. I don't feel it right now, Lord. I don't see it right now, but you said it. So I'm hanging on the edge of your table, waiting for that crumb to drop. Martin Luther, our friend, there he is. I love that picture. I always use that picture there. People ask me, why do you always use that picture, Pastor? Well, it's easy on Google. But he wrote a sermon reflecting on Matthew chapter 15, and he marveled at the Canaanite woman's faith, and these words are marvelous. That's why I'm going to share it with you. The words aren't up there. So here's, quote, Mr. Luther. The Canaanite woman catches Christ in his own words. He compares her to a dog, and she accepts it. She asks for no more than a dog's right, not the full loaf, not a place at the head of the table, but merely the crumbs that fall off. She reasons, if I am a dog, then I belong under the master's table, and even the host lets the dog have the scraps. Thus she binds Christ with his own words of mercy. Speaking back to him, the words of the gospel. And then finally, how do we cling to the promises when heaven is silent? We look to the cross, of course, right? The cross of Christ. If you ever doubt if God loves you, when you're in a season of silence, if you will, look to the cross, look to Calvary. The cross is where Christ took upon himself the ultimate damning silence. Think about it. He hung on the cross that day on Calvary. The sky darkened, and what words did he cry out? My God, why have you forsaken me? And guess what? Heaven gave him no answer. The Father was silent, so that Jesus would bear the judgment that you and I deserve. He entered into that isolation of divine abandonment so that you and I will never, ever, ever be truly abandoned. He endured the silence of the cross so that you and I might never have to experience. And it's not just silent rejection, it's silence working of a loving Father who's shaping, who's refining, who's keeping, who's drawing us close. You may feel like an outsider today. I don't know. You may feel like your faith's hanging by a thread. Maybe you're exhausted for praying that same prayer over and over and over again, and it feels like it's just going up in thin air. Dear friends, if all you have today is a crumb of God's promises, if all you can muster up is a choked, tear-filled, Lord, help me, hear this. It is enough. It is enough. Your Savior hears you. He's not indifferent. He's not cruel. He's pulling you closer to Himself. He's teaching you again not to trust in your own spiritual strength, but in His unfailing grace. Think about the Canaanite woman. He eventually answered her. How about the foreigner in Isaiah 56? Brought him to the holy mountain, the house of prayer. The God who assigned everyone to disobedience so that we might receive His mercy will shower His boundless, unending mercy upon you, dear friends. So hear this good news. The table's set. The host is present on the altar. You don't need to bring great works, perfect feelings, flawless prayers. You just need to bring your empty hands like the Canaanite woman. And He doesn't throw crumbs at you, Jesus. He gives you Himself up there at the altar. His Word, His body, His blood. He satisfies your hungry soul. So hang on, cry out, stand faithful in the quiet. For the Lord who heard the Canaanite woman loves you, hears you, and will answer you with His eternal mercy in His perfect timing. But until that day comes, dear friends, we know exactly where we need to be. Right here. Right at the feet of Jesus, clinging to His promises, rejoicing in His mercy, and feeding upon His priceless bread of life. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the bread of life, Jesus Christ, feeding on Him. Amen.